Time now for Extension Today on WIFM. Extension Today presented by Surrey, Wilkes, and Yadkin County Farm Bureau. North Carolina Farm Bureau has been actively promoting farm and rural issues since 1936. Now, Extension Today with Danny Hall.
This is Extension Today. I'm Danny Hall. Welcome aboard 100.9 WIFM. We're pleased to welcome to our program from the Surrey County Cooperative Extension Service, Ms. Joanna Radford. Hello, Joanna.
Hey, Danny.
Hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk with you as always. And boy, we are right on time with the topic today. We're going to discuss garden woes. So let's just dive right into it, Joanna.
All right. Well, we've had a lot of calls lately. Everybody is bringing in a bountiful harvest and their garden's looking great, but then there's some that has a few problems creeping up.
Mm-hmm. And what would some of those problems be, Joanna?
Well, some of it has to do with their squash, some of it their tomatoes, and that's what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about today.
Okay, sure.
Some folks have been seeing the lower end of the squash turning brown, mm-hmm. and they're just not producing like they should.
Yeah.
And so these symptoms is from a common disorder known as blossom end rot. And many folks see that probably in tomatoes and are very familiar with that in tomatoes. But squash can also have this along with some other vegetables as well. It is triggered by a couple of different things. One, low nighttime temperatures mm-hmm. might trigger that. Also, irregular watering. So if you have a droughty situation and then it rains and then it's dry for a while. And
right.
So it's dry and wet, the soil. So that can be a problem. Also with calcium, not enough calcium that's in the soil.
Well, there's one thing for sure. We haven't had those low nighttime temperatures. So.
Oh, I know.
I don't think we can blame it on that.
Joanna,
what exactly is blossom end rot?
Okay, we see it typically in tomatoes and squash, mm-hmm. but it can occur, like I said, on other vegetables like peppers and watermelons, eggplant as well. And it's actually not a disease, so it can't spread from one plant to the other.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually caused by lack of calcium mm-hmm. that's developing, you know, in the fruit there, taken up by the soil. And it's where the plant cannot really move that calcium from the soil up to the plant. So when that happens, you get this rot or brown-looking
yeah.
Area. And a lot of times you don't notice it until already turning red and, you know, you're thinking, oh, it's not going to be long and I'm going to have that nice tomato sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see something start to happen to your tomato and it's kind of frustrating a little bit. But while plants absorb the calcium from the soil, low soil calcium levels, usually, I don't know, not a problem. It could be, mm-hmm. but it's usually where it just cannot go up into the nutrients. No matter how much you put down, it can't get up into the plant itself. It's interesting how this works because a lot of times it's caused by the pH of the soil.
Oh, okay.
When the pH is too low or too high, nutrients cannot get up into the plant. So we have a lot of acidic soils here in Surrey County.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the surrounding counties have acidic soils as well. And the pH, I'm you know, talking about 5.5 or lower.
Right.
And so some of those nutrients are locked up, so they cannot be absorbed by the plant. Calcium is one of those nutrients that becomes less available under, you know, these acidic conditions, soil conditions. So where soil, the pH is low, it causes blossom end rot. And the problem is usually persistent throughout the entire growing season when we see that happen.
So you're saying that the calcium is actually there, but because of that low pH level, that it can't get absorbed in the plants the way it needs to.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, how would we know if soil that is acidic or too low in calcium, how do we know about that, Joanna?
Well, the best way to find out is to take a soil sample. And soil sampling right now is free.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cost to it in November through March, but right now it's free. The kits, soil testing kits, are available at any of the county extension offices. So
right.
Whatever your county is in, go visit the extension office and they'll give you that. And then you can mail it to NCDA, the North Carolina Department of Agriculture in Raleigh. They're the ones that do the testing. It usually takes around 2 weeks and you get your information back and that way you can see what's going on in your soil.
So if our guest, by the way, is Joanna Radford with the Surrey County Cooperative Extension Service, and we're talking about, garden woes and primarily at the moment the blossom end rot that is affecting some folks. If you have low pH and acidic soil, what can you do to raise the pH in that soil, Joanna?
The pH of acidic soils can be raised by adding lime, but you should only do that if you have a soil test and it tells you how much actually to put in there.
Oh, okay.
Soils can have high pH or one that is good for growing plants, and adding more lime to these soils can increase the nutrient deficiency problem, so we don't want to see that happen.
Okay, so you got to get the test to know what you need to do, right?
Right.
How do you go about applying the lime in the soil that it, if it needs it?
Well, if your pH is low, sprinkling lime on the plants or the top of the soil would not help this season.
Oh, okay.
Since lime must be, it really needs to be mixed into the soil to raise that pH.
Mm-hmm.
To change pH, lime should be tilled into the soil about 6 to 8 inches deep at least 3 months before you start planting.
Uh-huh.
And this is the same, for gypsum, sometimes referred to as like land plaster.
Yeah.
And it supplies calcium without raising pH, soil pH.
So if it's out of balance this year, you're sort of out of luck, basically.
Pretty much. But you can apply some calcium nitrate, mm-hmm. and that would help some as well.
Okay. Are there any other causes for this blossom end rot?
Over-applying fertilizer, especially nitrogen. And we keep thinking if there's a problem, we'll just add some more nitrogen, and that will help.
Yep.
But sometimes that helps make a problem worse.
Okay.
So nitrogen really, what it does is promotes rapid growth, mm-hmm. dark green leafy vegetable, the growth on the plant.
Mm-hmm.
The plants that are growing very quickly cannot move enough of the calcium into the fruit to support proper development. So that leads to blossom end rot. So if you want to avoid that, be careful not to overdo it with the high nitrogen fertilizers like Miracle-Gro or soda that a lot of people use.
Yeah.
And you might want to consider maybe a long feeding like the slow release fertilizers, maybe Osmocote or organic fertilizers such as they have Plant Tone.
Oh, okay.
Things like that.
All right. Any other things that can cause it?
Well, anytime you have root damage, that can lead to poor nutrient absorption and mm-hmm. blossom end rot. So that could be possibly the most common causes of root damage in vegetables are wet soils following heavy rains or over-irrigation.
Okay.
So you might want to consider, if that's a problem, consider planting in containers or raised beds, and that promotes better soil drainage.
It takes a good balance of the right nutrients, the right fertilizer, and the right amount of rain, which we cannot really control unless we're doing the watering ourselves, right?
That's right.
Our guest is Joanna Radford. Joanna's with the Cooperative Extension Service in Surrey County, and it's gardening time full bore now, and we're talking about this blossom end rot. You sort of touched on this, but do drought conditions also cause the blossom end rot?
They actually do, because the roots can absorb the nutrients from the dry soil. In fact, the single most important thing you can do to prevent blossom end rot is to keep the soils evenly moist by watering during these dry periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the key word there is evenly, because you don't want to water and then stop and let the soil dry out and then water again. So you need to keep it pretty consistent. Vegetables require anywhere from an inch to an inch and a half of water each week, and that's either from rainfall or water that you're actually putting out there. So if it hasn't rained, you probably need to water your plants once to twice a week.
To my family, someone was using these soaker hoses, a great way. Is that a good, nice, even way to get the water to the plants?
Oh, that would be a great way. And it's easy, too. You just put it out there, your work's done, turn on the faucet, and it can do the watering for you. So soaker hoses are a great option.
So basically, as I understand what you're saying, you don't want to shock the plants. You don't want to overwater them and then just wait for it to completely dry and then start again, because that's a bad thing, right?
That's right.
Okay. Joanna, how about insects? Are they being a pest in the garden this year?
Oh, I have seen quite a few squash bugs.
Oh, yes.
These are very destructive. They multiply very quickly. And they feed on leaves and fruit. And usually in things that are in the squash family, like cucumbers, melons, pumpkins, mm-hmm. your yellow squash, your zucchini. So they like those really, really good.
Tell us what the squash bug really looks like.
They look a lot like a stink bug. They're from that same family.
Oh, great.
The adult squash bugs have blackish-brown bodies that resemble shields and have a triangle on their back.
Uh-huh.
And you may have seen their eggs. They lay their eggs in clusters. They're very small, shiny, coppered in color.
Right.
And you can find them most of the time on the underside of leaves, but sometimes you'll see them on the upper side, but most of the time it's underneath.
Squash bugs feed on the plants, right?
They feed on the plants, either the leaves or the fruit. They actually inject a toxin, and it causes the leaves to turn black, they wilt, and then they die. And if they're left alone on your plants, they can kill your plant pretty quickly. So you need to keep looking for them.
How do we as gardeners get rid of the squash bugs?
Well, the easiest thing, if you see the eggs, just destroy those.
Mm-hmm.
You can either just scrape the eggs off or you know, just take the leaves off their cells and okay. try to keep them away from the garden or something that's composted. You want to dispose of them completely. There are some insecticides that will work, but they're most effective if applied when the bugs are first seen, not just the eggs. One of the things, squash bugs like to hide under mulch and debris in and around the garden, and you can actually use that against them. Like if you lay a board next to the stem of a squash plant, it's good shelter for them, and they'll... You know, if you come out in the morning and lift that board up, there'll be a lot of them under there, so you can get rid of them that way. Good way to destroy them.
Oh, okay. Surprise, here's your shelter. No, it's not.
Yeah, kind of a dirty trick, but it does work, and it saves your vegetables. So.
Yeah. What do they do? Where do they go in the wintertime?
They spend their time in the soil under old plants, leaves that are left in the garden. So if you clean up the garden tilling in the fall, that reduces the number of squash bugs for the next year. Mm-hmm. Also, it helps if you rotate your crop. So the squash is not grown in the same place year after year, and that's the same with any vegetable.
Sure, yeah.
Any crop. You need to rotate.
Organic gardeners, what would we use?
Oh, okay. Organic gardeners, diatomaceous earth, pyrethrins, they can be applied around the base of the plant for some control, and that is a treatment that is allowed in certified organic vegetable production, so that's good for organic folks.
I'm sure glad you're the one who had to pronounce that, Joanna.
It is a mouthful.
Yeah. Any other insecticides?
There is some insecticides that you can use if you're not organic. Those would include the permethrin or carbaryl as the active ingredients. They do very well. You need to make sure when you apply those is not really when you're going to attack honeybees or other pollinators, because they're non-selective and they will control those as well. So we want to keep our pollinators around.
Right, yeah.
But it's recommended that these treatments be applied early in the season if you're going to apply them.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the first application should be made when the eggs are first detected, say around June. But that doesn't mean you've missed it since it's July.
Okay.
You can always apply, because we're just now really seeing squash bugs. And you follow by a second application a week or two later to provide the rest of the control from, you know, the rest of the season. So mm-hmm. that's good ways to do.
Oh, so you follow up with additional applications then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. And obviously the main thing to do with any chemical application, read the directions.
Yes, read and follow the label. It will also have information on there of the time that you apply the chemical to when you can actually harvest the vegetable that you're going to have. So mm-hmm. that's very important to know that as well.
Some great information about the garden and what we can do to make it the best we can. And obviously it's a great idea if you didn't do it this season to get that soil test so you can prepare your soil for the next year's growing season and make sure you have a beautiful garden. Joanna Radford, tell me about the farmers markets here in Surrey County.
Oh, we have three. We have three markets. They're all from 9 o'clock until 12 o'clock. Millinery at Mills Creek General Store is on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, Dobson at Dobson Square Park, the new park here in Dobson. We have the farmers market. And then on Saturdays in Elkin at the Town Hall parking lot. So all of those, you can have fresh vegetables throughout the week and all in the morning from 9 to 12.
And we're talking local farmers, locally produced vegetables and fruits. And that's not all they have now, is it? They do some other things, right?
Yeah, they have, along with the vegetables and the fruits, they have some crafts that are there. They have dog treats. Mm-hmm. as well. So there's a multitude of items that are at the markets these days.
Love the farmers market. Joanna Radford, what's your number if they have some questions about what we talked about today?
It's 336-401-8025.
Terrific. Joanna Radford with the Surrey County Cooperative Extension Service. Thank you so much for your info today. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and I look forward to the next time, and happy gardening.
Thanks, Danny.
And folks, thank you for joining us for Extension Today right here on 100.9 WIFM.
Extension Today on WIFM, presented by Surrey, Wilkes, and Yadkin County Farm Bureau. Join us again next time for Extension Today on WIFM.